And now, live from Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is the WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari.
Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Countdown for blastoff. X minus one.
Richard Diamond, private detective.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
I have a laugh like Gildersleeve. Hey. Yeah. What do you think, Lisa?
That sounds exactly like him.
The Great Gildersleeve. Hey. Right, and you're Leela.
I'll be Leela.
Lisa Wolf is Leela.
I'll be Leela any day.
All right, this is the WGN Radio Theater. It's 8 minutes after 11 p.m. on Sunday night. This is program 70 in the series. This is April 17th, 2016. And to my right, Lisa Wolf, my co-host. In front of me is Mike Costello, the executive producer, and the best in the business, and I coined the phrase, Dan Long, our producer, and I'm so sad, Lisa. I'm sad.
Yeah, we're hoping Dan will let everybody know why he's leaving
us.
Why am I
so sad?
Put him on the spot here.
Yeah, and as I talked with Rick Hogan about 45 minutes ago about this, I'm leaving this program, this fine program. I'll be moving to the beat, so we'll do a little sports on weekend afternoons with Adam Hogue and Mark Carmen and Jared Payton, all great guys. Looking forward to working with them. But I'm sorry to be leaving my home here.
Well, you know what? I am very happy for you. Congratulations, Dan. It's definitely a nice promotion for you, and that's terrific. And you deserve it because, as I say, you are the best in the business.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate you coining that phrase for me, too.
Yes, and we put it on a cookie.
We tell everybody that. Don't worry about it, Dan.
We wrote it on a cookie, a giant cookie cake, and we're going to post that picture.
It's already up.
All right, on this edition of the WGN Radio Theater, we're going to spotlight Agnes Moorehead and Dora from Bewitched. She did a ton of radio, and she co-stars with Orson Welles in The Shadow. That's our first show we'll start things off with. Then you'll hear her starring in Suspense, and then opposite Peter Lorre in Mystery in the Air. You know Peter Lorre? You know that guy, Lisa, that creepy guy?
Yes, we're very close.
All right, all of this is brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actress stars as a talk show host in the film Mother's Day, a comedy which brings together three generations for the week leading up to Mother's Day.
All right, if our listeners can't identify this celebrity, what do they win?
They will win two tickets to the hit sensation Hershey Felder as Irving Berlin, playing right now at the Royal George Theater.
The number to call, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Now, here's a hint. You'll hear this actress in a scene from Erin Brockovich.
It's for my boss. He's in this water dispute, and he wants me to find all kinds of papers just from all kinds of places.
All right, do you know who that is? Call us, 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after this break.
We are back. Let's play some Celebrity Scoop and play that movie clip one more time.
It's for my boss. He's in this water dispute, and he wants me to find all kinds of papers just from all kinds of places.
Hey, Dave, how are you?
Oh, good. How are you guys?
Great. We're hoping you can recognize that celebrity's voice.
That would be Julia Roberts.
Yes, I've heard of her a couple of times before. Dave, you are a winner. I hope you
would date her.
You would date her?
Yeah.
I would date her. Okay, Dave, I hope you like
that. Might be more interesting than me
might
dating
be.
Her.
I hope you enjoy the theater. You've won a pair of tickets to the smash hit sensation Hershey Felder's Irving Berlin. I saw the show. It's a fantastic show. Everybody loves this show. It's playing at the Royal George Theater. It was extended through Sunday, May 22nd. For more information, you can go to theroyalgeorgetheater.com or check out their box office at 312-988-9000. Dave, thanks a lot for calling in, and we hope you enjoy the show. Let us know what you think, okay?
Thank you.
Great.
All righty, Lisa, you ready for a spotlight to Agnes Moorehead?
Yes, I am a fan of Agnes Moorehead.
You know, she was part of the Mercury Theater with Orson Welles, and so she was real good pals with Orson Welles, did a lot of radio in her career. She was all over the place, including Cavalcade of America. She was on Suspense. Probably the most famous suspense program of all time was Sorry, Wrong Number, and she was the star of that. We have her in a suspense episode in the second hour. Not Sorry, Wrong Number, because we played that on the air. We have her in The Diary of Sophronia Winters. And in this first hour, you will hear her pairing with Orson Welles, her good pal. This is going back to November 28th, 1937. She was the lovely Margot Lane on Radio Lisa. And, of course, Orson Welles was Lamont Cranston, alias The Shadow. The Shadow was probably one of the most popular mystery detective shows of all time, and Orson Welles started playing the role in 1937. We have an episode for you now called The Circle of Death. You'll hear Orson Welles and Agnes Moorehead now in part one of The Shadow.
The Shadow knows.
Blue Coat presents The Shadow, the mystery man who strikes terror in the very hearts of sharpsters, lawbreakers, and criminals. The plot murder announced for today has been postponed. Today, The Circle of Death.
Oh, Jack, what a delightful show. What a wonderful way to start our honeymoon.
Darling, when it comes to shows and girls, I'm a swell picker. Now watch me pick a nightclub.
Oh, taxi. Hey, taxi.
Darling, I think you're wonderful. I've never had such a marvelous time in my life.
Hop in, honey.
Things are pretty quiet around the theater district tonight, Bill.
Yeah, pretty thin crowd.
I don't blame folks for staying away. After those three bombings and 15 people being blown to pieces, I wouldn't be here myself if it wasn't the commissioner's orders.
Same here. Boy, has this town got the jitters.
Commissioner Weston's hopping around like a cat on a hot stove.
I hear the Midtown Association is going to ask for his resignation if he don't catch the nut that's scattering bombs around here like confetti on New Year's Eve.
The guy that's pulling these jobs sure must have it in for a lot of people.
Yeah, he's a real screwball, if you ask me. Look at the way he's always sending warnings to the newspapers before he blows another batch of pedestrians to Hades.
Yeah, and have you noticed? He always ends his notes by saying, "I hate crowds."
Yeah. Well, this is the time that crazy goof warned he'd set off another blast.
Maybe his watch is slow.
Things are going to pop if he pulls another job and kills any more people.
Well, maybe all the cops have him scared off.
Maybe.
Maybe not. Bill, look at that car. Blown to smithereens.
First killer strikes again. Five more dead. Get your paper here. Paper. Read all about the mad maniac's latest slaughter.
It's horrible, Lamont. Horrible.
It's senseless and insane, Margot. Crimes like this always are. Turn on the radio. It's time for a news bulletin. There's a switch on the dashboard.
All right, Lamont.
Turning your back upon the inefficiency of the police department. Tonight at Midtown Hall, a meeting of businessmen of the entertainment world and property owners is in progress. Police Commissioner Weston has been asked to defend his department and produce results or resign.
That's enough, Margot.
Washington, D.C.
Now, listen carefully.
Yes, Lamont.
I want you to go to that protest meeting right over there at Midtown Hall. Commissioner Weston is speaking, and the crowd is pretty certain to heckle his explanation of the failure of his department to catch this fiend.
I'm sure of
it. Now, here's what I want you to do. Keep quiet and watch your chance. Then I want you to cry out that Shadow could solve this crime without half trying.
Aren't you flattering yourself?
Never mind that, Margot. I have a very definite reason for doing this. A lot depends on your getting the crowd to take up your suggestion.
I'll do my best, Lamont. But where are you going?
I won't be far away. Hand me that leather case on the floor.
Right. Here you are. Am I permitted enough womanly curiosity to ask what's in it?
Just a little wiretapping device.
Telephone?
No. No, Commissioner Weston will be talking over the loudspeaker system in Midtown Hall. Don't be surprised if the shadow interrupts his speech. Now remember, Margot, cry out at the psychological moment. Hundreds of lives depend on it.
We don't want alibis, Commissioner.
We want action, Weston.
Crazy man's making a fool of you, Weston.
Gentlemen, as I have explained to you, every available resource of the police department has been thrown into catching this fiend. Our bomb squads have combed the city. Every known criminal with psychopathic tendencies has been rounded up and questioned. Not one fragment of a bomb has been found. No buildings have been damaged. No one person has been singled out for death. This is not an ordinary crime. We are not dealing with an ordinary criminal.
Oh, alibis! Alibis!
We've had enough.
15 people dead.
50 injured, and you talk! Talk!
Business is at a standstill.
We're being ruined. The whole city's in a panic.
Get this pillow or resign, Weston.
Get out and let the mayor appoint somebody to praise and let the Texas maniac before he strikes again.
Yes.
The shadow could solve this crime without half trying.
There's an idea. The shadow.
Yes, the shadow, McGinnis.
He's cracked cases for you before, Weston.
Why don't you call him in?
He wouldn't have to do much to do a better job of it than the police have.
Get the shadow, Weston.
What about it, Commissioner? You've done nothing in 2 weeks. You're licked.
Wait a minute. Hold on. What makes you think this man who calls himself the Shadow is interested in law and order?
He's helped to trap 20 of criminals, hasn't he?
Yes, he's tipped us off occasionally, but it may have been to get rid of rivals. We have no assurance he isn't a criminal himself.
What of it? A thief can catch a thief.
I don't run my department that way.
You're not running it at all.
That's a matter of opinion.
I bet you're not running it.
I was asked here to tell you what we've been doing. You seem to think my department works with the Shadow. We don't. We never have. And as for the Shadow, and you reporters can spread it all over the front pages, I challenge him to uncover one single scrap of evidence that my men have overlooked. I challenge the Shadow to find this maniac.
Wait a minute. I am the Shadow. I accept that challenge, Commissioner Weston. I am working on the case. Gentlemen of the press, it will not be necessary for you to print the commissioner's challenge, but you can print this challenge to the arch fiend behind this reign of terror. Print this, gentlemen. The Shadow will trap the mass killer if he dares walk through the central arcade during the rush hour between 5 and 6. Tomorrow night. Remember, the central arcade between 5 and 6. Tomorrow night. I dare him to come. To walk through the central arcade.
Give me a paper.
That's 2 cents, mister.
Here's your 2 cents.
Well, thanks. Here's the paper.
No. Not that one on top. People, crowds have seen it.
Well, so what? They're all the same.
No. Give me that one underneath.
Okay. The customer's always right.
Hey, you masked murderer challenged by the Shadow. That's your extra paper.
The Central Arcade tomorrow. So he's daring me, the Shadow fellow. He knows I hate crowds and people pushing and getting in my way. Voices talking and shouting. I hate them. And I'll show them. I'll show the Shadow fella, too. I'll fool all of them. I'll accept his challenge. I'll be there at the Central Arcade. And the Shadow fella will know I was there. The whole world will know. After I'm gone.
Thank you.
orders have been carried out, Commissioner Weston.
Good. There'd better not be any slip-ups.
200 patrolmen are stationed in the neighborhood of the Central Arcade. 50 picked men of the plainclothes and bomb squad will be in the crowd. If there is a crowd.
There'll be a mob after all the publicity. If I could get my hands on the Shadow, I'd wring his neck for this. What time is it?
A little after 4, sir.
We'd better get down there pretty soon.
Yes, sir. Shall I take that call, sir?
No. I've been waiting for this. And if it's who I think it is... Hello. Hello. Listen to me, Shadow.
No, Commissioner Weston. You listen to me.
I'm listening. Quick, Connors, trace this call.
Yes, sir.
Don't bother, Commissioner. You can't trace this call. I've tapped a line. Just as I tapped the Midtown loudspeaker system last night.
So that's how you pulled that crazy stunt. You're a fool, Shadow. Don't you realize you've endangered the lives of thousands of people?
Nothing will happen if you do not
interfere. I don't take my orders from you, Shadow. You're not running the police department.
I'm not giving orders. But I need your help. Just do one thing for me, and you and not the Shadow will get the credit for the capture of the mass killer.
Oh, yes? Well, what do you want?
Just keep the crowd moving through the narrow arcade. Just keep them moving. Keep them moving. Everything depends on that.
What are you trying to do, Shadow?
To find a needle in a haystack. A man in a million.
You haven't a chance. The maniac won't come.
You overlook the fact that a dare is a powerful psychological magnet that no egotistical crazed mind can resist. Just keep that crowd moving, Commissioner. Keep them moving.
All right, that's the first portion of The Circle of Death on The Shadow, starring Orson Welles and Agnes Moorehead. Agnes Moorehead is the lovely Margot Lane. I call you the lovely Lisa Wolf, but that's the lovely Margot Lane, Agnes Moorehead. We're spotlighting Agnes Moorehead, who is probably best known for playing Endora on Bewitched, right?
She was so wonderful on that show.
Oh, I know.
She was really something
else. Tons and tons of radio, though, and a lot of movies and TV, and we're spotlighting her and paying a tribute to her and all of her great work here on the WGN Radio Theater. Let's take a break, and then we'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the WGN Radio Theater. I'm your host, Carl Amari, Lisa Wolf to my right, and Mike Costello, executive producer in front of me, and Dan Long, the best in the business in the booth. And you know what? You know what they say, Lisa? They say if your tummy is full, and if you had a few libations, usually kind of loosened up and happy.
Is that how you're feeling right now, Carl?
I'm very loosened up and happy.
You could use a little loosening up and happiness.
So we have two companies that came in. I just want to really quickly mention these two companies that came in here and fed us and gave us some beer as well.
I'm going to go with the pizza. I'm not a beer drinker, but
so Mike and Dan,
I'm drinking three kinds of beer right now.
Mike is
a little confused.
How is that beer? Because I'm not a beer drinker, but it looks really good. So tell me a little bit about that beer you were drinking, Dan.
I wish I had an academic approach to this, but I'm just a beer fan. I couldn't even tell you why I like what I like. But there's there's three different kinds, and they're all different enough where they all kind of hit the palate in different ways, and it works. It's working for me.
Well, Phil Costello came in here. He owns the company Sidelot Brewing Company. They're in Wakanda, Illinois, and you can go to sidelotbrewing.com. He has uniquely crafted beers that you can't find anywhere else in Chicagoland. So you have to check out his website, and if you are in the Wakanda area, go to Sidelot Brewing Company because the beer is amazing. And right next door to Sidelot Brewing is what, Lisa?
Slice coal-fired pizza. It's Slice, S-L-Y-C-E. I love pizza. I would always say if I had to pick
you could turn into a pizza.
To have for the rest of my life, it would be pizza.
I agree with you, actually.
Pizza is great. So Brittany Barth is the owner, and what they do is they have very thin pizzas, and it's cooked in a coal fire, literally. They put the heat on at 9 in the morning. It takes till 4:30 to warm up. It's 1,000 degrees. The pizzas cook in about 2 minutes.
About as hot as Lisa's temper.
About 1,000 degrees hot right. as my temper. Everything is made in-house, the sauce, the dough. They grow their own veggies. They make their own sausage. And they made these fantastic pizzas for us. I think you tasted the fig and prosciutto, Carl.
Yes.
It had a balsamic glaze.
It was unbelievable.
Mike, you had the sausage and caramelized onions with yes. the cream sauce. I went with the tomato and fresh mozzarella and basil. I'm kind of a simple folk. But each one is different in their own right and really fantastic. As a matter of fact, they were Zagat rated as 8th in the entire United States. And I was hearing about this place, so we asked them to come in and we wanted to try it ourselves. And I'll tell you something, we are not disappointed.
It's unbelievable pizza, unbelievable beer, and they're right next door to each other in Wakanda. So check out Side Lot Brewing Company and then Slice.
Right, that would be slicecoalfiredpizza.com, S-L-Y-C-E.
My tummy is very happy right now.
If you're happy, I'm happy,
right.
Carl.
I live in Chicago, and I'm actually going to go out there and get the
call
hot
me,
pizza.
Mike. We'll go together.
We'll go.
All right, sounds good, and we appreciate you coming out and feeding us. And when Lisa's not hungry, she's or hangry. You know, when you're not hangry, you're a lot easier to deal with.
Oh,
over
Oh, thank
here,
you. So. I will post some photos with the website that. And some of the things that they brought, yes. so you can enjoy them.
All right, so we're spotlighting Agnes Moorehead on this edition of the WGN Radio Theater. We're in the midst of tuning in to The Shadow, going back now to November 28, 1937, for the conclusion to The Circle of Death on The Shadow.
Keep moving. Well, the time's almost up, Commissioner Weston.
Yes. 6:02. Oh, this is the longest hour I've ever spent in my life.
Can you beat it the way people have flocked here on the chance of seeing somebody else blown to bits by this maniac?
Looks like the Shadow was right. The way they've been swarming through this arcade.
Yeah, and watching each other like a bunch of wild animals. You see what happened to that poor guy with the Christmas box? I nearly killed him before we got him out. All he had was a doll for his kid.
I saw it.
Well, the time's up, Commissioner.
Yes. Thank heavens.
Any orders, sir?
Just keep the men on duty till this crowd thins out. They'll be going home now.
Commissioner Weston, look.
What is it?
The maniac. He's been here. Look at this piece of paper.
Where'd you get it?
In the arcade. He must have dropped it.
What's it say, Commissioner?
Tell that shadow fellow I'll kill me a lot more people at 11 o'clock tonight.
Lamont, oh, I was afraid something had happened
something
to you.
Something has. I found the maniac.
Thank heavens. Have you notified the police?
Margot, this man is a fiend. If I notified the police and they'd bungle things, he might kill hundreds of people. This is a job that the Shadow must handle alone.
But Lamont, he's dangerous. You might fail. He might kill you.
The Shadow won't fail, Margot. But if he should, it's far better that one die than hundreds.
Oh, Lamont, please. There must be a safer way.
Perhaps, Margot, but this is the only sure way to end the career of this mass killer. Goodbye, my dear.
Lamont. Oh, Lamont.
Glad, McConnors. Here comes the headquarters car.
Yeah, it's Commissioner Weston's car. He's plenty worried about this maniac threatening to kill another batch of people at 11 tonight.
Well, he'll sure have to go out of the theater area to kill him. They won't let anybody in the district here without a police permit.
Wait a minute. Here comes a guy. Hey, you! You!
Who, me?
Yeah, you. Where do you think you're going?
Me? I'm going to work. That's where I'm going.
You got a permit?
Got a badge. See? Says I'm a night watchman. I got to go to work.
What do you watch? Where do you work?
I watch things in the ground. Down there.
Down where?
Down under the street. Down under the planks.
Oh, I get it, Bill. He's a night watchman down on the new subway they're building.
Yes, that's it. I go down them steps Every night I go down them steps and watch.
Well, why did you say so? Get on with you. Get to your watching.
Thank you. Joe Tonetti is waiting for me so he can go home. Every night at 10:30, I take from him the job of watching.
Now, that's a job I wouldn't want any part of.
Me neither. I'll pound my feet on the street now.
Oh, Joey. Joey Tonetti. Joey, you can go home now. I'm here to watch.
Hey, what's the matter? You're half a big speakerback fella. You're 5 minutes late. I want to go home. Here's the keys to everything now. You watch out. Don't you go to sleep.
The police don't want to let me come to work. But I show them the badge. You can go home now, Joey. I'll watch everything.
Okay. See you in the morning. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Oh, those people. So many people always pushing. Pushing me. But I'll show them. I'll fix them good. I'll kill him. That shadow fella, I'll show him too. Now I'm alone. All alone.
Not quite, Anton Spivak. You are not quite alone. I am with you.
Huh?
Do you hear my voice, Anton?
Sure. I always hear voices in the dark, on the street, and here under the street where I watch every night.
Yes, Anton. But you've never heard my voice before, have you?
Well, maybe. I don't think so. What's different about your voice?
It's the voice of the shadow.
Oh, you're a pretty smart voice. How'd you find me? Where's that shadow fella the newspapers talk about?
I am more than just a voice, Anton Spivak. I am the shadow.
You're the shadow?
Yes.
Where are you hiding?
I am hiding under the cloak of invisibility. You cannot see me because I have clouded your mind, so you cannot see that which is here.
How did you get down here in this subway excavation?
I followed you down the steps.
How'd you know where to find me?
I picked you out of the crowd in the central arcade.
How did you know I was the one?
Your eyes showed me. I knew then how much you hate crowds.
My eyes show you?
Yes. You passed close to me as I stood in the shadows.
Huh?
The arcade is narrow. You didn't see me.
Huh.
No one saw me, but I saw you.
How'd you find out my name?
I followed you to the place where you live. I found out you work here, in the tunnels.
Then you followed me here from my home tonight?
Yes, Anton Spivak. All the way.
Good. You're a very clever shadow. But you must go now and let me do my work. My work. I ain't got much time. Now go quick before I get mad. You're plenty smart. I'm glad to know you, Mr. Shadow, but now you have to go.
Yes, I'm smart. But you're smarter.
You bet.
Let me stay. I want to learn. You can teach me things. Then maybe we can work together.
You hate people, too?
Yes. I hate crowds. Let me watch you and learn.
All right. I'll let you watch.
What are you going to do?
You just watch.
What's in this shed?
You see? Dynamite. Sticks and sticks of dynamite.
Is this what you use to kill people with?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My precious dynamite. They kill the crowds I hate, see? Now, look here. Here's a stick of dynamite all ready for the fuse. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 sticks of dynamite to go with it. Now, you watch. See, Shadow, I tie them in a bundle.
But how do you take that dynamite to the place where you killed all those people? It's a block away. How do you carry it?
That's where I'm smarter than you, Mr. Shadow.
Show me.
I'll show you. Now, look, see, it's almost 11 o'clock. Now, here. You see this little hook? I hooked the dynamite to it.
Then what, Anton?
Wait, you hear that car overhead on the boards?
Yes.
Well, if the light is red, it will stop right over our heads. Now listen. There, you see? The light is red. Now I take this crowbar. I go up this ladder. Come on, you come with me.
Yes, I am still here. Although you cannot see me.
Now you watch. I pry the end of this plank back, see? And I hook the dynamite on the brake rods. I strike a match. And I light the fuse. And when the light changes, the car takes the dynamite with it. And when the dynamite explodes a block away, I'm still here. While the... Oh, no. You put out the fuse. You've tricked me.
And here is the dynamite.
No. You took it off the car. It's gone without the dynamite. And I promised I'd kill a lot of people tonight. Now I have to wait. Tomorrow the crowds will be still pushing me, scaring me. You tricked me! That's what you did. You tricked me. Where are you, Shadow? Shadow. Come here, Shadow. Nice, Shadow.
I'm here, Anton Spivak.
Yes, I hear you. Nice, Shadow. Come close to me.
Put down that dynamite, Anton.
No, Shadow. I light another match.
If you touch that match to the fuse, you'll die too.
But I'll kill you, and I don't care. You wouldn't let me kill people, and I don't want to live. I want to die. I want you to die too, Shadow.
Wait, Anton.
No, you blow out my match.
Yes, I have a plan. Those thousands of people waiting up the street.
Yes?
You can kill all those people. Wouldn't that be better than just killing the two of us?
How? Tell me how.
Take your dynamite and come with me. Up the steps. Up to the street.
Oh, No, there's policemen out there. I saw them.
But they won't see you any more than you can see me.
No, they will see me.
Hypnotize them. Huh? Hypnotize them. Look straight at them. Stare at them. And then they won't be able to see you.
No, I'm afraid.
Think of all those people waiting to be killed. Come. Just a few more steps. I am with you. You'll be safe.
But I'll try. All those people waiting to be killed. I'll try. But don't you leave me, Shadow, or I'll light the fuse.
I'm here, Anton Spivak. Look, there are the two policemen.
Uh-huh.
Just stare at them hard as you pass, and they won't see you.
All right, I'll try.
Well, it's past 7, Connors. Looks like a false alarm this time. Hey, wait a minute. Here's that night watchman.
Hey, what's the matter with him? What's he staring at?
Look what he's carrying.
You can't see me. You can't see me.
Dynamite. Grab him.
No. Take it away from him.
Let me go.
Hold it.
No, I said no.
I got him. It's a mass killer.
No. Oh, he lied. He fooled me. He said you couldn't see me. No. Give me my dynamite. I want to kill all those people.
Hold him.
No.
Here's Commissioner Weston.
Go.
I got him. We got him. We got the maniac, Chief.
Good work. Here, let me look at him.
No. He tricked me. He said you couldn't see me.
Where'd he come from?
About a subway excavation, Commissioner. He's a night watchman.
No, he tricked me. The shadow tricked me.
Oh. It was the shadow.
Yes, Commissioner Weston. The Shadow. I found the killer, but the glory is all yours.
The story you have just heard is copyrighted by The Shadow Magazine. The characters in this story are entirely fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental.
The weed of crime bears bitter fruit. Crime does not pay. The Shadow knows.
Extra! Extra! Hear all about it! Next week, same time, same station, The Shadow's latest adventure! Extra! Extra! Extra!
Next week, same time, same station, Blue Cold will again present another thrilling adventure of The Shadow. Be sure to listen. Your announcer, Arthur Whiteside.
All right, that is a 1937, going way back to 37, Lisa, from November 28th, 1937, The Shadow, The Circle of Death. Orson Welles, for a while, played Lamont Cranston, alias The Shadow, and his sidekick, the lovely Lisa Wolfe, I mean, the lovely Margot Lane, was played by Agnes Moorehead, as heard on the Mutual Broadcasting Company. 1207 on a...
Sunday.
No, this is Monday.
It's Monday. It is now. Monday.
Wow, I got her finally.
Well, it's just 7 minutes in, you know.
It's technically Monday.
I said it's Monday.
So
don't argue with me.
Hey, wait. Dan, could you save this and play it back and stuff?
He's the one arguing.
Right, and she is wrong.
And I say yes.
Carl is right. Lisa is wrong.
He's not arguing with anybody except himself.
Please send that to the Smithsonian Institute. And where else could we send that?
Let's shoot it right over to the Broadcast Museum over there.
Please send it to Bruce Dumont over at the Broadcast Museum. I would like that put on a on some kind of a gold.
Bronzed.
Gold.
Platinum. You can't afford it.
Tape recorder or something like that. Yeah, all right.
All right, yes. It's Monday morning.
I am so happy now.
You know it's because you're well-fed today.
Yeah, I am well-fed. Had a little... I had a little sip of beer, too.
I can tell.
No, I'm not a beer drinker at all. I had a sip of beer, though.
I can tell. I can
all
tell.
Right. Hour two of the WGN Radio Theater on a Monday.
On a Monday.
Yeah, and this is program 70 in the series. We've been on the air for 1 year and 1 week. Right, Lisa?
You are right, Carl.
Well, thanks. Thanks, Lisa.
You are on it.
In this hour, Agnes Moorehead stars in The Diary of Sophronia Winters on Suspense. And then a little later... In the morning, wee hours of the morning, we're going to tune in to Agnes Moorehead along with Peter Lorre in Mystery in the Air. So still a lot of classic radio coming your way, all brought to you by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actress stars as the narrator in the documentary A Beautiful Planet, an exploration of Earth and beyond as seen from outer space.
All right. What do you win?
You, not you. Our listeners will win a pair of tickets to see Hershey Felder as Irving Berlin, playing right now at the Royal George Theater.
All right. The number to call, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. You'll hear this actress in a scene from American Hustle.
It's like perfumey, but there's also something rotten. And I know that sounds crazy, but yeah. I can't get enough of it. I smell it. It's true.
I love this actress.
She's a great,
great
voice.
I date her.
Her too?
Yeah, I date her
too. Boy, the list is growing, Carl.
All right, 312-981-7200. Give us a call. We'll find our winner after this break.
We are back with show 70 of the WGN Radio Theater. We're playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play that movie clip again.
It's like perfumey, but there's also something rotten. And I know that sounds crazy, but I can't get enough of it. I can smell it. It's true.
She cracks me up.
Bob from Bolingbrook, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good, good. We're glad you called in, and we're hoping you recognize that voice.
I do, and I believe it's Jennifer Lawrence.
You are right. Carl mentioned that he'd like to date her. Yeah. Are you on that? Do you feel the same way, Bob?
Definitely.
Okay. I guess it's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Yep.
She's a cute gal.
She's real cute.
Yeah. I mean, somehow let's get my number to her.
Yeah. Well, what about Bob?
Well, Bob, yeah. You know,
Bob, are you married?
Too.
No, I'm not.
All right.
So
there we go.
There we go.
Maybe you know, we can all go on a date together. We could go on the dating game with her. You know, it would be me and Bob and then, let's see, Kit. And then it would be her as the person that's choosing which date she wants to go on.
I think that could be good. In any event, we can all continue to dream here. Bob, you are a winner. You've won a pair of tickets to the smash hit sensation Hershey Felder's Irving Berlin. It's a great show. I saw it. It's playing right now at the Royal George Theater. It was extended through Sunday, May 22nd. I hope you enjoy the show. He really brings the music to life of this icon, Hershey Irving Berlin. You can check them out at theroyalgeorgetheater.com.
Thank you,
Bob.
All right. We are spotlighting Agnes Moorehead. She's probably best known for playing Endora on Bewitched. And remember, Lisa, a while ago we interviewed Erin Murphy, you know, who
played Tabitha.
We had Erin Murphy on the show.
She was really cute.
She was talking about Agnes Moorehead as the nicest person.
She was like a mother figure for her.
Yeah, she really was. And they thought that, you know, because she was a little kid on this show, and they thought, oh, boy, we're going to bring this little kid on the program, and this kind of scary, you know, grandmother, because she had all those weird hairdos
and stuff.
And
the makeup, right?
And the weird makeup. Mm-hmm. And they thought that she might be afraid of her, and it was just the opposite. They bonded, and she was like a grandmother figure to her. And she said that's who she missed the most on the series.
Right.
And a testament to what a great woman Agnes Moore, very strong woman, very smart woman. I think she had a master's degree, and, you know, back then, you know, in the 1930s, getting your master's degree.
She was truly iconic.
Yeah. So we are going to hear her now on a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense. I promise you'll like this episode. And we're going to go back to a broadcast date of August 17th, 1944. This was written by Lucille Fletcher, who also wrote Sorry Wrong Number. Lucille Fletcher, who was married to Bernard Herrmann, the great composer, and Orson Welles used him a lot, so did Alfred Hitchcock. And she wrote this story called The Diary of Sophronia Winters. Here's Agnes Moorehead in part one now of Suspense.
Suspense. Tonight, The Diary of Sophronia Winters, starring Agnes Moorehead and Ray Collins.
Suspense is presented for your enjoyment by Roma Wines. That's R-O-M-A, Roma Wines. Those excellent California wines that can add so much pleasantness to the way you live, to your happiness in entertaining guests, to your enjoyment of everyday meals. Yes, right now a glass full would be very pleasant, as Roma Wines bring you...
Suspense! This is the man in black, here for the Roma Wine Company of Fresno, California, who tonight from Hollywood bring you as stars, Miss Agnes Moorehead and Mr. Ray Collins. Miss Moorehead and Mr. Collins will appear in A Study in Terror, written especially for them and for Suspense by the distinguished radio playwright Lucille Fletcher. And now with the Diary of Sophronia Winters and with the performances of Agnes Moorehead and Ray Collins, we again hope to keep you in suspense.
February 1st, St. Petersburg, Florida. I, Sophronia Winters, have hereby begun this diary because on this date I feel for the first time that I've begun to live. Diaries are no good unless one has thrilling experiences. For 40 years, I've never had what could really be called a thrilling experience, but Papa's death has changed everything. Here I am in beautiful St. Petersburg with everything to start life anew. Money in my purse, two suitcases full of new clothes, and a gorgeous new permanent wave. And Florida is really the land of romance. It doesn't matter whether you're 17 or 70. There are parties and dances and bingo games and flirtations for all. My landlady, in fact, tells me that people often become engaged and even married to perfect strangers overnight. I'm still shy, of course, but just the same, it's such fun and so thrilling to think one's fate may be just around the corner. February 3rd. Oh, diary, it is beginning. This morning when I came out of my lodging house to go down to the beach, I noticed a man, a thrilling-looking man, sitting across the street on a bench. It was just as though he were waiting for me, because when I came out, he sort of started up as though he knew me. Of course, I didn't speak first, but I knew the minute I started down the street that he was following me. Well, I got to the beach and sat down with my magazines, and suddenly there he was, strolling toward me with a broad smile.
Well, sitting out here all by your lonesome?
Oh, yes. Yes, I am.
Been down here at St. Pete long?
Oh, it's just 3 days.
3 days? That's a long time. It's a wonder I didn't spot you before.
Oh, Mr.
Johnson's the name. Hiram Johnson. I came from Green Harbor, Maine. Run a big hotel up there summers. Well, that's my whole history in a nutshell.
Oh, my name's Sophronia. Sophronia Winters.
Sophronia?
Yes.
Well, you know, that's quite a coincidence. My sister-in-law's name was Sophronia.
Oh.
Sophronia Johnson. You ever heard of her? She looked quite a bit like you, too.
Sophronia Johnson?
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm afraid I haven't. Who was she? Someone very famous? I'm so ignorant about these things.
Well, that's all right. Say, look at that sun, will you? I'd say it was pretty nearly time for lunch. You know, Sophronia, it's kind of mysterious us finding that 9-point starfish on the beach together. My sister-in-law, Sophronia, used to collect 9-point starfishes. To think your name, Sophronia. You find a 9-point starfish with me. Well, it kind of draws us together, huh?
Diary, darling, he is wonderful. Strong, kind, warm-hearted, so generous. I feel as though I knew him completely, as though I'd known him all my life.
What's the good of waiting, Sophronia? I've got to be back at the hotel in a week. We may never see each other again.
Oh, Hiram, don't say that. I couldn't bear it.
Then let's do it right away, tomorrow. There's a parson out on Coral Avenue who'll do the job for us. We could take a nice moonlight drive out to the alligator farm. Afterward, have a nice short dinner. Then climb on board the Orange Blossom tomorrow night for Maine.
Maine? Oh, it's all so wild, so mad, so thrilling. But what would your family think? Wouldn't they be shocked?
Oh, my family's all dead. I'm my own boss.
I'd have to help you run that big hotel. I wonder whether I could do it, meeting all those people.
Oh, don't worry about that. Just think of Maine. The big, dark pine woods, the sand, the bay. The two of us alone together.
The two of us alone together. On board the Orange Blossom. I was married in a wedding dress of Alice Blue Moray with a frill of white organdy at the collar and wrists and a rhinestone belt buckle. Hiram sent me talisman roses. I'm pressing one precious flower between the pages of this diary for luck.
We'll see it beyond this bend in a couple of minutes. Bags heavy?
No, not particularly, dearest. Oh, I can't get over that taxi man at the station. Imagine his insolence, saying he didn't want to drive us.
There's the place.
Oh, wait a minute. I don't want to look until I put down these bags. Now, where?
There. Through those big pines.
Oh. It is big, isn't it?
125 rooms.
So many fire escapes and balconies and porches and towers. I stayed in a hotel like that once, years ago, with Papa. It was very fashionable, and
my grandfather built that place 50 years ago. It hasn't been changed much since.
No. Of course you put in modern plumbing.
Not yet. Well, here we are. Walk in.
What's that?
Just a foghorn out in the bay.
Fog?
We get it almost every night in this kind of weather.
What are you locking the gate for?
Why not? There's nobody coming in after us. Or going out again for a while.
But I thought you said the hotel...
The hotel's empty.
Empty? Hiram!
What is it now?
Hiram, darling, I know it sounds silly, but let's not go in there tonight. Let's wait until morning.
Why?
Oh,
just because it's so dark and empty, there's not a light in the whole place and no one's expecting us. What'll we eat and where'll we sleep? Let's stay in the village just for tonight.
I've got things to eat and a place to sleep. Come on.
Oh, my arm, Hiram! Hiram!
You remember my telling you down in Florida about my sister-in-law, Sophronia? Well, that's her over there on the wall. Take a look at her.
Hiram, darling, just now you hurt me. Do you realize that? You twisted my arm.
I said take a look at her. Tell me what you see.
Well, the glass is very dusty. She must have died many years ago. Her face is sweet. It's very sweet. Her eyes, something very sad and wistful about her eyes.
She was a murderess. She was hanged in Portland 25 years ago for the murder of my brother, Ephraim. Huh? Here in the lobby of this hotel, she murdered him in cold blood with an axe. That fire axe hanging over there on the wall. It was a summer day. There were guests sitting on the front porch in the rockers. It was just after lunch. My brother, Ephraim, was sitting at the desk counting his loose change. My mother was crocheting an antimacassar in that old wicker rocking chair. Sophronia came downstairs, humming a hymn.
Oh, don't, Hiram. Please, don't tell me anymore.
Why not?
Well, it makes me nervous to hear it like this in this big shadowy lobby. And your eyes, Hiram. Hiram, you're acting so strange. What's the matter with you, Hiram? I know it was a terrible tragedy, but it happened 25 years ago.
Don't touch me, Sophronia.
Don't touch you.
Do you remember what I said to you in Florida?
What did you say? You said a million sweet and wonderful things to me, Hiram.
I said you resembled my dead sister-in-law. Look at her again. Look at her closely. Sophronia.
Why? Oh, no, I can't. It's too horrible. I can't look at her face with any pleasure now, knowing she was a murderer.
You're afraid to look, is that it?
No, not afraid.
You...
Hiram! Please, my arm. Well, very well. I'll look.
Now, stand there quietly. Like that. Take off your glasses. That's all I wanted to see. That's all.
February 12th, Green Harbor Hotel, Maine. I cannot understand it. I try to fathom it, but my head aches and my heart is heavy. The hotel is deserted, unchanged, and apparently uninhabited for 25 years. Washbowls and pitchers still stand in the empty rooms, covered with spiders and cobwebs. Dust is everywhere, and the printed regulations on the walls are tattered and yellow with age. A row of broken rocking chairs on the front porch faces emptily out to sea. Can he mean this to be my home? He's downstairs now in the shabby parlor off the lobby, playing the harmonium.
Sophronia?
Yes, Hiram?
Sleeping?
No, dear.
Well, why is your door locked? Come out. I want to show you around the place.
It's all right, dear. I've seen it. I've seen just about everything.
No, you haven't. You haven't seen the grounds at all.
The grounds? But Hiram, it's after midnight.
I want to show you where my sister-in-law, Sophronia, is buried.
Well, not tonight, dear. Please, it's so late and I have a headache.
Open the door, Sophronia. I want you to come now.
No, I shan't. Now go away and let me alone. I won't.
It's no use carrying on like that. You see, I've got pass keys to all the doors.
All right, that's the first portion of Suspense, a great broadcast called The Diary of Sophronia Winters from August 17th, 1944, starring Agnes Moorehead, also in the cast, Ray Collins. Let's take a break here on the WGN Radio Theater. We'll be right back. Ah, yes. That's why he's the best in the business in the booth there. Dan Long with the
Bewitched.
Yeah. Agnes Moorehead. She was great as Endora.
I always wanted to be Elizabeth Montgomery. I mean, if I wasn't Mary Tyler Moore, then I would go with that.
You know, it confused me because there was two Darrens.
Yeah,
very confusing.
I thought the switch was pretty seamless.
Well, it was. Yeah, what happened was I think The first guy, Dick Sargent.
Dick Sargent.
I think the first guy was Dick Sargent. I could be wrong. He had back problems, really, really serious back problems. And so then they replaced him with Dick York. Dick York.
Yeah.
It's one of the, you know, whichever way it was.
Yeah.
But that's what happened there. So Elizabeth Montgomery.
I know.
Her father was a big actor, Robert Montgomery. In fact, Robert Montgomery for years was the host of Suspense, the series that we're listening to.
I used to pretend to try to wiggle my nose like that and make things happen.
Right.
Trying right now.
Lisa can touch her nose with her tongue. It's a skill.
I'm not going to do.
She really can do this.
I will try to twitch my nose.
She has lots of talents, but that's one of them.
That's a good one. Yeah.
She literally can stick her tongue out and touch her nose.
Mm-hmm.
Want to see me do it? Watch.
No.
Yeah, I just did it.
No.
No.
No. Not really.
So you know what? We have to just tell our listeners about an amazing offer for them. You know, we're always trying to do things for our listeners besides play classic radio shows for them. As the host and hostess of this show, it's our job, our duty, to find fun things for our listeners to take advantage of. And we have one. It's called Mies Meals. Mies Meals is an incredible company, and they we're all on it. Mike Costello, Lisa, and I, we all are part of the Mies Meals family. We get Mies Meals sent to our home. And you can, too. You can try Mies Meals absolutely free. Get a dinner for two delivered to your home absolutely free just by entering the code RADIO. It's for our listeners, the WGN Radio Theater listeners.
I say beyond the promo, if you go to the website, which is MiesMeals.com, MiesMeals.com, they talk to you about food, basically, and it's delicious and healthy dinner entrees, and that's what they offer. So there's no going to the grocery store, no what am I making for dinner tonight, no chopping, no prepping, no nothing. It all comes in a container, container, but it's all with ice packs and sealed, and everything comes. And I post it every week on Facebook to show what I'm making that week, and it's basically ready to be put on the stove or into your oven. So it's really home cooking reinvented.
Yeah,
I appreciate it every single week.
Me too.
I have three dinners coming this week. I will post all of them during the week, and I honestly can think of no reason why you wouldn't try it out. Get a free dinner for two delivered to your door.
Right.
No strings attached. They deliver all over the Chicago area. Check it out. Check out their menu.
And the suburbs.
All over Chicago and the suburbs.
Right.
Exactly. Check out their menu. I am sure that there is something on there that you'd love to try,
like
especially
things
for free.
Yeah, I think there's like 10 things every week. They change it up.
Yep.
And here's the thing. You know, folks, if you order in once or twice a week, which a lot of people do. I know, Mike, you do, right?
All the time.
You know, it's very expensive to order in. Plus, the food is not that good for you, really,
right?
Usually. Where Mies Meals, it's all healthy food. It's really great. You can order it exactly. Like, you don't like coconut. So
no,
Lisa,
there's a lot of things I don't like.
Yeah, so it's specifically for you. It's not a membership. You don't have to sign up and order every week. It's not like that. You order when you want to, and you don't order when you don't want to.
They have vegetarian entrees, chicken, meat, fish.
Gluten-free,
anything, the way you want it. And they really do cater to dietary restrictions, allergies. Check them out.
Yeah, now people are very particular, obviously, of what they eat. So we have vetted this company. This company is awesome, folks. We use it. Mike uses it. I use it. Lisa uses it. And so we want you to at least try it, and it will not cost you one penny. So you just go to Mies, M-E-E-Z Meals, MiesMeals.com. Order dinner for two, delivered right to your home. Just make sure you put the promo code RADIO.
Right, and we'd love to hear what you've ordered. I know my daughter picked steak with fingerling potatoes, so we will be having that for dinner tomorrow night, and I'll post a photo, and I hope that you guys can enjoy it and post the things that you enjoy as well.
All right, so take advantage of it. It's a limited-time offer. It's only for our listeners, the WGN Radio Theater listeners. Go to Mies, M-E-E-Z, Meals, MiesMeals.com. Get your dinner for two delivered to your home absolutely free. Try it out. It's absolutely free, and there's no obligation, no strings attached. Check it out. All right, let's get back now to Agnes Moorehead starring in The Diary of Sophronia Winters on Suspense.
And beyond where those four birches are standing, It's where my sister-in-law, Sophronia, was laid away 25 years ago. It was the biggest funeral in the neighborhood. Folks crowded outside the gate with the dozens trying to get a look, but we wouldn't let them. Buried her ourselves, without a service, out here by herself on the grounds. Ephraim is buried in town, but not Sophronia. I had a feeling that I'd have to keep an eye on her even then.
Keep an eye on her?
Oh, I knew she was one of those restless sleepers who wouldn't stay quiet in her own grave. I knew before the year was out she'd find some way to start roaming around, hunting for mischief again. She was a young she-devil to the core, Sophronia. They could hang her till doomsday. It wouldn't do any good.
You think she haunts this hotel?
No, not this hotel. She never had any use for it, dead or alive. No, she makes for the warmer climates. She was always a cold-blooded little fish, freezing and shivering all the time. It's places like California and Texas. And Florida, she makes for.
Florida?
Yeah, that's one of her favorite haunts. Particularly around St. Pete. She likes the flowers and the sun. And the romance.
Hiram, I feel cold. Do you mind if I go inside
just
now?
Just a minute. I haven't explained everything. You think I'm crazy, I guess. Crazy. But I'm a lot smarter than some people give me credit for. Because, you see, I have found her now 3 times. Do you see that grove of birches over there? Under every one of them's a grave. I've found her wandering the earth in disguise 3 times. And I've killed her 3 times. And it still doesn't do any good. She's still restless.
You mean you've killed 3 different women?
So now I keep another grave to remind her. It's waiting now. Would you like to see it, Sophronia?
No, Hiram, no, please.
You're afraid to see it, Sophronia?
Hiram, you don't mean to say that you think just because my name happens to be Sophronia that I look a little like...
Think what, Sophronia?
Nothing. February 14th. My mind is made up. I've made a terrible mistake. I must get away from this place. I must get away from Hiram as quickly as I can. I shall wait for dusk, when he generally sits down in the parlor and plays the harmonium. I can hide a little earlier in one of the deserted rooms, and then, when his back is toward the lobby, slip out the front door.
Sophronia! Oh, there you are. Why, what's the matter? Anything wrong?
No, Hiram.
You didn't want anything outside, did you? Because if you do, you'll have to ask me to get it for you. You see, I always keep this front door locked.
Yes, Hiram.
And the back door, too. All the doors leading out into the porches and the fire escapes, and a good many of the windows. It makes one feel safe from thieves and peeping Toms. Oh, you've got a cold. Oh, that's too bad.
Yes, I must have caught it last night outdoors. The damp.
You ought to be in bed, a good one. The only good bed in the house is in my sister-in-law Sophronia's old room.
Oh, no, Hiram. I'm all right. It's just a little head cold.
Oh, little head colds often develop into pneumonia. It's too bad I didn't think of that before. You might have slept in it from the very beginning. Here, up these stairs. Why, what's the matter? Are you so weak?
No, I'm all right.
This room's the cleanest in the hotel, too. I've always had a sort of suspicion about that. Yeah, you see? I've kept everything as it was. What's the matter?
Nothing. Nothing. It's just...
Seems kind of familiar.
No. No, it's just that seeing it so clean, seeing it as though someone were living there, as though they'd only just stepped out for a moment.
It's just as she left it that afternoon when she walked down to murder my brother. You see her needlework on the table with a needle sticking in it? Her hymn book still open? She was very fond of singing hymns, Sophronia was. Had a nice voice, too. I used to accompany her.
Oh,
I'll turn down the bed for you. Then you can get undressed while I go and make you some hot tea.
No, I don't want any.
Here's the closet. You can put on one of Sophronia's dressing gowns.
Diary. I'm beside myself. I shall go mad. I shall go mad. 2 hours have passed since he locked the door on me. Night has fallen. I'm alone. Alone in this horrible room with its hideous little momentous of death. I'm sitting here at her little wicker table, trying to be calm, trying to write this. Somehow, when one writes about a thing, it doesn't appear so real. My hand is just brushed against her needlework, her hymn book. I can't bear having them near me. I must get them out of my sight anywhere in that closet or bureau drawer.
Ready for your tea?
No. Yes, Hiram.
Oh, why aren't you in bed? You'll take worse cold, you know.
Well, I'll get in bed in a minute. First, I...
Ah! Brushing up on your needlework again.
My needlework?
You've got it in your hand.
Have I? Oh, yes, so I have. Oh, but I wasn't working on it, Hiram. I swear I wasn't. I've never done a stitch of needlework in my whole life. I don't know one embroidery stitch from another. Now, let me show you. Look. I don't even know how to hold the needle.
Now, get into bed, Sophronia. You're feverish.
Before we go on, Hiram, before you go on thinking, we've got to have an understanding. You've got to let me explain. I was born in 1892 in Kalamazoo, Michigan. My name is Sophronia, that's true, but they name lots of people Sophronia. I was named for my grandmother. She just died. And...
Yeah.
Oh, no. You've got to listen to me. I lived in Kalamazoo all my life. My father was vice president of the Kalamazoo First National Bank. Everybody in town knew him, and they know me. If you'd only just write a letter or send it, why? I never heard of Green Harbor in my whole life. I never went anywhere.
No.
For almost 10 years, I stayed home day in and day out, nursing Papa. He had a stroke. I wasn't out of the house. It was a red brick house with green shutters.
February 15th. Now I live only from moment to moment, listening to each creak upon the stairs.
Oh, my cold is growing worse. I've been in bed all day. It's night now. The foghorn has begun to blow again.
February 19th. I woke up early this morning after a wretched night, and the date was burning in letters of fire in my brain. If he's planning to kill me, it'll be today. But the hours have been crawling on. It's almost midnight. Why does he torture me like this? I would rather be dead than sit here in this room one moment longer. If he doesn't come in 5 minutes, I shall force him to come. I shall beat on the door. No.
Rather let me sit quiet praying that he doesn't come. Oh, I want to live. I want to live.
Sophronia.
It's come.
Sophronia, come downstairs. I want you to sing me a hymn.
Sing? He never asked me to sing for him before. But she sang.
I can't sing, dear. I told you that long ago.
Did you? Well, I've forgotten.
And besides... How can I come downstairs when my door's locked?
It's unlocked. Try it.
Unlocked.
Oh, no. How could it? Oh, it is. It is. And I never knew it. I never knew it.
Coming?
Oh, we unlocked it sometime while I was just sitting. Why didn't I try a few more times?
Sophronia!
Yes. Yes, Hiram. I'm coming. Hiram, where are you?
In here, in the parlor.
What are you doing there, Hiram?
Waiting to hear you sing.
You're at the harmonium?
Yes.
All right, I'll sing. I haven't sung in years, but I might as well. I'll sing for you out here in the hall. My voice will carry better.
It always did carry better in the hall, didn't it, Sophronia? So you remember that, too. Of course, you know both the front and back doors are locked.
Yes, Hiram, dear.
Shall I sing, too, Sophronia? Would you like me to sing along with you?
If it pleases you, Hiram.
Work, for the night is coming. Oh. Work in the morning sun. Work, for the night is coming. When man's work is done.
There's only one more page. Shall I read it to you?
Yes, go ahead.
March 22nd. I've been sick, I think, for a very long time. The pages of my diary are blank, but I shall take you out again, poor diary, today and start you over again. No, I shall never look back at the other pages. I shall only write on and on about this nice, quiet place. So that no one reading this diary will ever know that I did it. But I did do it, diary. I was smarter than he. When I opened that door at the head of the stairs and heard the music, when I saw the fire axe still hanging on the wall. I was so cautious. So terribly cautious. I tiptoed like a little mouse, even as I sang the hymn into that room where he was playing. If a reflection of that axe had so much as glimmered across the wood, if he had turned. But I was clever. So much cleverer than he. I kept on singing. And now I'm free. Free as a bird. I'm free, and he shall never catch me now. Not this time or ever again. Because he's dead. Isn't he, nurse? Nurse, isn't my dear brother-in-law, Hiram, really dead?
Yes, miss, he's dead. And now I'll thank you to hand me over that diary. The doctor doesn't approve of the patient's writing anything.
And so closes The Diary of Sophronia Winters, starring Agnes Moorehead and Ray Collins. Tonight's study in Suspense. Suspense is produced and directed by William Spear. Agnes Moorehead appeared through the courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer and is currently being seen in their production, Dragon Seed. Next Thursday, same time, in an unusual feature performance, Suspense will bring you, in his first appearance as an acting storyteller, the noted American novelist and playwright, Mr. Ben Hecht. Sharing honors with Mr. Hecht as star of the performance will be Mr. Frederick March. You won't want to miss hearing Frederick March and Ben Hecht in Actor's Blood, which will be next week's tale of suspense.
Presented by Roma Wines, R-O-M-A, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That last guy talking there was Truman Bradley, but the man in black was Joseph Kearns. You probably remember him as Mr. Wilson on the Dennis the Menace show. He was his next-door neighbor. Remember, Dennis was always driving him crazy?
I sure do.
He also played Jack Benny's vault guard, Ed, the vault guard, on the Jack Benny program. This was sponsored by Roma Wines. You heard the great Agnes Moorehead in The Diary of Sophronia Winters from August 17, 1944, on Suspense. Let's take a break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. Welcome to Hour 3 of the WGN Radio Theater. It's 6 minutes after 1 a.m. in the morning. And, we got to wake Lisa up. Hang on a second. Lisa, it's a radio show.
Hey, I'm the only one that took a nap here today.
Radio show.
Keeping everybody around here awake.
We're on for another 55 minutes.
I'm good.
What do you think they're paying you for?
I don't know. I'm supposed to be sleeping
over there.
That's how I make
wake
the big
up.
Bucks, I tell you.
Thanks for waking her up, Dan. I appreciate that. Gave her a little nudge, got her up over there. She was perpendicular.
Thanks.
And that you weren't snoring as loud as you normally snore.
Yeah.
So you got.
I had that surgery. I had my uvula snipped.
Yeah, snip that uvula.
Yeah, I'm good now.
Yeah, that's what I did. I had that snipped.
Yeah. See, we're like kindred spirits. We both had our uvulas snipped.
Right. So there you go. Very good. You know, I heard that on a Bickerson's radio show once, uvula. I thought it was the funniest thing.
Well, that is us.
Because John Bickerson on the Bickerson's radio shows, he's always snoring, and then Blanche Bickerson, which reminds me of me and you.
Yeah, people Blanche, say that to us sometimes.
Only they were married. You and I are not married.
No.
I mean, you're married, just not to me.
That's right. That's a good thing.
You've been married a long time, Lisa.
Right.
Wolf. Yes, married to a very nice man, my lawyer.
Yes.
Dan Wolf.
He won't be able to confuse Dan Long with Dan Wolf anymore.
Let's give Dan Wolf.
He's sleeping.
A plug. What law firm is he with?
You know, it's called Schwartz, Wolf, and Bernstein.
Right.
Their home base is Buffalo Grove.
Buffalo Grove,
and
all right.
He is fast asleep.
Yeah,
case in court in the morning.
All right. Very good. All right, Lisa Wolf. On this hour of the WGN Radio Theater, Program 70 in the series, we're going to tune into Agnes Moorehead along with Peter Lorre, starring in Mystery in the Air. We're spotlighting Agnes Moorehead. It's all brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This singer, songwriter, actress stars as herself in the comedy Pop Star Never Stop, Never Stopping, about a pop superstar whose celebrity high life begins to collapse.
All right, you'll hear this this singer, songwriter singing here.
Right now, he's probably slow dancing with a bleach blonde tramp, and she's probably getting thirsty. Right now, he's probably buying her some fruity little drink, cause she can't shoot whiskey.
And just for the record, Lisa?
Yes.
I date her, too.
You know what? I get that. She was at Ravinia last year. I'm sure some of our fans saw her.
Missed it. All right, what do they win?
They will win a pair of tickets to see Hershey Felder as Irving Berlin at the Royal George Theater.
All right, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Who is that celebrity? Give us a call. We'll find our winner after this break.
We're back with Celebrity Scoop. Let's hear that movie clip one more time.
Right now, he's probably slow dancing with a bleach blonde tramp, and she's probably getting thirsty. Right now, he's probably buying her some fruity little drink, cause she can't shoot whiskey.
And let's talk to Chris. Hey, Chris.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm almost like a peach blonde tramp.
Chris, do you want to date her too, or is Carl alone in that?
Yeah, he wants to date her.
Hey, wait, let me ask Chris.
I guess.
I know.
She's got nobody.
It will force you into it.
We'll twist his arm.
She happens to be, a very attractive young woman.
She's not hard on the eyes.
No, she's not.
Not at all.
And she's very talented besides. You are a winner, Chris. You have won a pair of tickets to see Hershey Felder's Irving Berlin. It's been extended through May 22nd at the Royal George Theater. And that's... Really, Hershey Felder brings this the man behind the iconic music to life. It's a great show. Everybody loves this show. I hope that you'll love it, too. And you can get more information at theroyalgeorgetheater.com. Chris, thanks so much for calling. And you can go play some CDs now of Carrie Underwood.
Way to go.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. Great
thanks,
show.
Chris.
Thanks a
appreciate
lot.
It. You know, I think if I went on a date with Carrie Underwood, we would write music together.
You would make music together.
Yeah,
maybe.
We'd sit down. We'd write. You know, we'd be like, you know, I could just see the papers flying all over the place.
Is that what would be flying?
Yeah,
Carol?
We'd be writing. You know, we would be so into the song and.
Right, you'd be into the song.
I could just see
I
it.
Hear it. I get it.
It. Yeah,
yeah, I can see it too.
Let's sit back. Let's talk about it a little bit
about Carrie Underwood.
Yeah, let's talk about her.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's good.
She is good.
I like her.
I like her too.
She's a very talented actress.
Yes, she is.
And singer.
Yes. Do you know what season she won American Idol?
I'll say three.
It's much later than that.
It's much later. She's married, though, I think, to like a hockey player or something.
Yes. Some big sports guy. You know, you could be a, you look like a big sports guy.
I'm a ping pong player.
That's it. Right. Yeah. Hockey, ping pong. It's very similar.
Yeah. Ping pong.
Ping pong.
Yeah.
It's
Chris,
kinda like hockey.
Chris knew the answer. Yeah. He did great. He knew it. Yeah, he did. He knew it was Carrie Underwood. All right, Lisa, you know what? Mystery in the air.
Yes, there is.
Want to listen to that?
Yes, I do.
You are a mystery.
You're
you know
a
that?
Mystery.
You're a mystery to me.
All women are a mystery to you.
So Peter Lorre starred in a series. It was a summer replacement for the Abbott and Costello show in 1947. And it was stories of the strange and unusual. It was culled from the four corners of world literature. Stories by Edgar Allan Poe, Pushkin, Theodore Sturgeon, Dostoevsky, and it had L.A.'s best supporting actors, and Harry Morgan, you know, from the Dragnet television series, Harry Morgan, also from MASH,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
He was the narrator of this. He went by Harry Morgan back then. Of course, he was also known as Henry Morgan later. He changed his name, Henry and Harry. And Lorre was the lead in each of these stories. He gave sort of intense, supercharged performances and great supporting actors, and I talked to Peggy Weber one time. Peggy Weber was on this show, and she said Peter Lorre liked to work at his own mic. He had his own microphone, and then everybody else was at their own microphone, and he would just, like, his arms were flailing, and the paper, like me and Carrie Underwood.
Right.
Like, you know, the papers
things are flying, right.
Yeah, and then everybody else was at another mic. He was just, like, really into these stories, and you'll hear him in this. He does a great job, and Agnes Moorehead plays... the person that the lodger rents an apartment from. So she's sort of the landlady of the apartment complex. Let's go back to August 14th, 1947 for The Lodger, part one of Mystery in the Air.
Mystery in the Air, starring Peter Lorre.
All right, men. I guess that's all. Put him on the stretcher and take him to the morgue.
Oh, must I stay, Inspector?
For a while, Mrs. Bunting.
Oh, dear.
I need all the details for my report.
Oh, that such a thing could have happened here. Here in my own house.
Each week at this hour, Peter Lorre brings us the excitement of the great stories of the strange and unusual, of dark and compelling masterpieces culled from the four corners of world literature. Tonight, The Lodger by Mrs. Bella Glounds. Peter Lorre is the lodger, and Alan Bunting is played by Miss Agnes Moorehead. Mystery in the Air.
Thank you.
done, Mrs. Bunting? You said you were looking for a lodger?
Yes, Inspector, we had to. But I never dreamed such a thing could happen here to us. Why, it was only last Tuesday night my husband and I were sitting before our fire reading the newspaper about the latest murder. It was the fifth by the Avenger. Yes, I remember saying distinctly. Robert, that he could be the fellow standing next to you, or maybe the man you bump into. It's a terrible thought.
Yes, but it appears to me that the Avenger's too quick for the police.
And look here, it says this girl he got last night was like all the others. Pretty blonde, and she'd just come from a music hall, exactly like all the rest of his victims. Oh, what a pity.
Ellen, have you stopped to think who fits that description perfectly? Our own Daisy.
Oh, shush, what a pretty thought, Bunting. The good thing she's with her aunt instead of here. London isn't a safe place for any girl now.
Just the same, I can't help thinking how fine it would be to have her here with us.
Well, there's no sense even talking about it. We just can't afford it.
I know that, Ellen, but I hope we could manage it some way.
How? Haven't I scrimped myself half crazy trying to keep us going?
I know, Ellen. Well, don't you go worrying about it. I think we can...
Who do you suppose that could be?
Could it be someone looking for a room?
Oh, I wish it were. Then you could have your Daisy back. Well, I went to the front door, and when I opened it, there stood a man wearing a black cape and hat. He carried but a single piece of luggage. Good evening, sir.
I saw your sign. It says you have a room to rent.
Yes, sir. Please, won't you come in?
Thank you.
Could I take your cape, sir?
No, I'm looking for a quiet room. But it should be very quiet.
Oh, we have that, sir. Just that. Above all, our house is quiet.
Good.
Your bag, sir. May I take it?
No, just show me the room, please.
Oh, yes, sir. It's right up these stairs, sir. This way. You see, sir, there's just my husband and me here, and we're ever so quiet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you'll find this room to your liking. Well, here we are.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think I like this room.
Yes, it is pleasant, isn't it? There's not many rooms with such pretty pictures now, is there?
I don't know. Pretty pictures interest me very little. What I like about this room is... It's the simplicity. I like the bareness. Yes, I think I'll take it. What is your name?
Mrs. Bunting, sir.
All right, Mrs. Bunting, I'll take the room.
Oh, yes, sir. And please let me help you with your luggage.
No, don't you touch it.
Oh, but I only wish to help.
I know. You only wish to help, Mrs. Bunting. Forgive me. It's just that I'm weary. I'm very tired. See, I do a lot of studying.
Oh, yes, of course, sir, of course.
Well, anyway, you can see how few things I need. It's just what's in this bag. But this here is my favorite book.
Hmm?
It's the Bible. Good book, Mrs. Bunting, isn't it?
Oh, yes, indeed it is, sir.
Yes, it says, he brings them to their desired haven. Beautiful words, huh? And now at last I found my haven of rest. Now, Mrs. Bunting, if I pay you 30 shillings a week for this room, that's satisfactory?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That'll be quite all right.
My name is Sleuth.
Mr. Sleuth?
Yes, Sleuth. Sleuth. Think of a hound, Mrs. Bunting, and you'll never forget my name. And here are your 30 shillings.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you. Would you be wishing anything now? Supper, tea, or...
No, nothing. Good night, Miss Bunting.
Yes. Good night, sir.
Please stop that. You hear?
What did I do?
You were humming. That's music.
Oh, but I
Music is an instrument of sin.
Oh, yes, yes, sir.
And you did tell me, Mrs. Bunting, that your house would be absolutely quiet.
Oh, but it is, sir. I didn't mean any harm. Believe me, sir.
I believe you, Anne. I'm sorry I spoke sharply, Anne. I know you. You're trying to be considerate and kind.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you.
By the way, Mrs. Bunting, I think I would like some bread and some tea.
Oh, certainly, certainly, sir. I'll have it in an instant.
So he took the room, eh, Ellen?
Yes.
He took the room at 30 shillings a week.
Yes, in advance. Oh, hurry now, Bunting. Is the water for the tea hot yet?
Yes, what a stroke.
Put the bread and the butter on the tray. I'll pour the water.
You know, Ellen, it's wonderful.
Yes, it is.
Do you realize what this means? We can have Daisy back with
us
now.
Yes, I know. Hurry with it now, hurry.
Why, we can have her back with us
now,
tomorrow.
Now, there's the water and the tea, and I guess... Yes, it's all ready. Open the door, Bunting. I'll take it up to him right away.
There you go, old girl. First thing in the morning, I'm going to fetch Daisy and bring her home. Oh, it's a wonderful night, Ellie. Wonderful.
Oh, I mustn't do that.
She has down many wounded from her. Yes, many strong men have been slain by her. Come in. And to know how the wickedness of folly...
Why, Mr. Sleuth, you...
Yes? What is it?
Those pictures. Hmm? Those pretty girls. You've turned all their faces
yes,
to the wall.
Yes, I've turned them to the wall because they are wicked and sinful.
Oh, but, sir,
Don't you agree, Mrs. Bunting, that everything wicked and sinful should be purged from the earth? Huh?
Yes. Oh, yes, I do.
I'm happy to hear that, Mrs. Bunting. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to leave.
Oh, but, sir, here's your tray.
Good night, Mrs. Bunting.
You know, for a moment, I was stiff with fear. I set the tray down. He hadn't so much as noticed the light supper I'd prepared for him and rushed to the window to watch. He came out of our cottage and moved off down the street, his black cape swirling about him. Finally, he was lost in the fog, and I don't know why, but I stared after him for a long, long while. Well, I did the dishes and got ready for bed. I lay there thinking, and it was almost dawn before I had convinced myself that at most he was a trifle odd. And after all, paying 30 shillings, maybe... Maybe he had a right to his strange ways. It was daylight when I was suddenly awakened by the newsboys shouting in the street.
Horrible murder! Read all about it!
Murder at King's Cross last night! Avenger strikes again!
Slowly, I realized what the newsboys were shouting.
Horrible murder! Avenger! Top 6 victims!
Oh, no!
In a few moments, Mr. Peter Lorre will bring us the climax of tonight's Mystery in the Air.
Live studio audience there, Lisa, on this broadcast as heard on NBC, August 14, 1947, The Lodger, starring Peter Lorre and the woman we are spotlighting, Agnes Moorhead. We'll get back to Mystery in the Air in just a few moments. Ah, yes, Lisa. May I have this dance?
I knew that was coming.
What is was this? Something Avenue Heartbreak or something, right? What's the name of this song?
Sixth Avenue Heartache.
Huh?
Heartache,
close.
Heartbreak.
It's heartache.
You were close.
Almost the same thing.
Not bad. Not bad, Lisa.
Am I going to see you dancing around the studio in a moment?
No, you don't want to see me dancing.
I do.
I'll tell you what, though. When I was a kid, you know, 112 years ago.
Yes.
Dan, you should have seen me in the disco days, buddy. I was Mr. Disco. Let me tell you that.
I've seen the picture of you with your duds with the, and your chain.
The John Travolta photo.
It was look-alike. Like, don't mess with me, man. I had the whole John Travolta
the
outfit.
Leisure suits.
I had the whole Johnny Travolta thing going on. The Danny Terrio look, you know. And you posted some picture. Did you post a picture of my headshot?
I did. I put it under the schedule for
Saturday.
They
used to call it, this was when I was doing acting and modeling. They used to call that a comp.
Yeah.
A composite. Because on the front was a picture of you, and then on the back were these smaller pictures. And maybe we'll post some of those too. This was back, I was 20 in those pictures.
Yeah.
1983, when I was 20. Dan wasn't even born yet.
Not even close.
He was a twinkle in his daddy's eye. Yeah. But, I think it's on the Facebook, right?
Yes, it's there. Yeah. It's on our Saturday schedule.
My disco days.
Yeah.
I had the platform shoes.
You needed them.
Yeah, because I wanted to be able to look the girls straight in the eye,
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
so I had the platform shoes.
The Italian horn.
I had the Italian horn.
Of course, I had an Italian horn, too.
You had an Italian
horn? I did. I wore
Why?
It.
Why?
I bought it in Italy.
You bought it in Italy?
I did.
I had
I just
Italian
thought it was really neat.
Horn, and I don't know what happened to it.
I don't know where mine is either. We should go back to Italy with Steve Bertrand and Andrea Darlis, right?
Should. Dan, would you go with us?
I'm down for Italy, yeah.
If you pay, I'll go.
Italy's great.
Right? That's a good motto,
not
Dan?
On my own dime, but yeah, Carl's
Let's
footing
just
the
be
bill.
Clear, right?
Lisa, have you ever been to Italy?
I told you I bought my Italian horn in Italy.
Oh, sorry.
I went to Venice, Florence, and Rome.
How old were you when you went to Italy?
I was in grad school. I went with my best friend. We went backpacking through Europe.
45?
No. No.
You backpacked through Europe.
I did with my
best
friend.
Wow, that's cool.
With my friend Susie, who you have met.
Yeah, Susie.
We backpacked
if
together.
If you knew Susie like I know Susie. All right.
Okay.
That's enough of that.
All right.
All right. It's getting late.
Yes, isn't it?
It's getting late, Lisa.
Yeah.
So we still have some more mystery in the air to play.
Yes, we do.
Agnes Moorhead, the Lodger, Peter Lorre and Agnes Moorhead. Let's tune into the conclusion now to Mystery in the Air.
As the inspector takes notes of the terrifying events, Ellen Bunting continues the story.
And now, Mrs. Bunting, what did you do the morning you learned the Avenger had murdered his sixth victim?
Well, I was a little frightened to meet our lodger, yet I kept my thoughts to myself. After all, you know, there still wasn't much to go on. Robert had gone to meet Daisy, so Mr. Sleuth ate breakfast alone. I watched him through the crack in the door. Finally, I went in with more tea.
Hmm? Tea? No. No, thank you. Thank you, Mrs. Bunting. I don't care for any more tea, thanks. You're very kind. But I have to go on with my work now, if you'll excuse me.
My fear really changed to pity then. Oh, he seemed so helpless and tired. And he was so considerate. This man couldn't be a murderer. It was all a coincidence. Besides, we just couldn't afford to lose that 30 shillings a week. Well, around 10 in the morning, he left the cottage. And I decided to go upstairs and have a look about his room. I had to find out what he carried in his one piece of luggage. It wasn't a bag. It was more like a case. Yes. Yes, a case. A case for a knife. I rushed upstairs, my heart beating wildly at the thought I'd had of the case. No, there wasn't anything in his closet. I went over to the chest of drawers against the wall. Nothing in the top one. In the next one, there was just some socks and some underclothes. The next one was empty. There was only one other place for the small, narrow case. The bottom drawer. And and it was locked. I pulled and pulled at it, and then suddenly I heard the front door open downstairs. In a panic, I rushed out of the room and down the hall.
Oh, you're upstairs, Ellen. Oh. Look, Ellen, Daisy's here.
Oh, thank heaven.
Oh, Mother, it's so good to see you. It's so good to be home. Why, whatever's the matter?
Yes, you're quite white, Ellen.
Oh, I'm all right. It's just that I wasn't expecting you so soon.
Well, it's good to be back. The country's all right, but there's nothing like London now, is there?
Oh, no. No, there isn't.
Well, as long as that Avenger's about, you're going to have something to do to keep this young lady indoors, London or no London.
Oh, don't you worry. Mother will see to that.
Oh, well, Daisy, I might as well get you settled.
You see, Father, what did I tell you? She'll have a dust cloth in my hand before I have my coat on.
Mr. Sleuth.
Why is my door open?
We were just leaving, sir.
Have you been in my room?
Not at all, sir.
From now on, Mrs. Bunting, I shall keep my room locked.
But you see, sir, I was just tidying up a bit, and Mr. Bunting, he brought our daughter home. She just arrived. This is Daisy.
Pleased to meet you, sir.
She's been away for quite a while. That's why we're a bit excited, you might say.
Yes.
You were probably surprised to hear us laughing and carrying on.
Yes, I must say I was. But then, there are different kinds of joy, are there not, Daisy?
Yes, I'm sure there are.
Yes, there is the despicable, evil joy of the abandoned, and then there is the divine happiness of the blessed. That's a great difference. You understand that, Daisy, don't you?
Why, yes, sir. Yes, Mr. Sleuth.
Good, dear. There are so few young women nowadays who do.
Why, Mr. Sleuth? You mean a girl's not to enjoy life at all? Not to have any fun?
Enjoyment and fun, my child, are the devil's breeding ground. All his implements are there. Pleasure and impropriety. The temptation of music, dancing.
Oh, that's crazy. Why, there's nothing I like better than dancing. And I'm not...
You like to dance?
You know what she was saying, Mr. Sleuth? She's just a child. Daisy, you know you've never been one for dancing. You never learned how
to. But I did learn, Mother. While I was away. What's so wrong about it? What's the harm in dancing?
It says she lies in wait as for a prey... and increases the transgressors among men.
I don't know what you mean. I've never heard such nonsense.
Nonsense? You call a scripture nonsense?
Daisy, go into the front room.
It's all right, Mrs. Bunting. It's all right. I'm used to that kind of talk. Good day.
Daisy, listen to me.
What, Mother?
I've got to tell you about...
About what?
Nothing. I've got to go out for a while now. I'll be back. For a moment, I was about to tell her my awful suspicions, but I stopped. They were only suspicions. At the same time, I had a thought. I'd go to the coroner's inquest they were having for the Avenger's latest victim. I was hoping to hear something said that would clear my suspicions of the lodger. At least I'd give him this last chance. A lady was testifying as I took my seat. She'd seen the Avenger from her window, she said. And her description of him didn't tally with Mr. Sleuth at all. Oh, I can't tell you how relieved I was. Said it was pointed out she couldn't possibly have seen anyone that night from her window because of the fog. Then the next witness was a Mr. Cannot. I leaned forward anxiously as they swore him in and began asking questions.
You say, Mr. Kennedy, you're positive that you saw this man?
Positive, sir. It was only a few moments before the murder that I saw the Avenger.
Describe him.
Well, he wore a black cape, I believe, and was very gaunt-looking. and was carrying a small handbag.
A handbag?
Yes, a small, narrow handbag. Such a one as might contain a knife.
Silence in the court. Proceed, Mr. Perry.
Well, he had a low, hesitating voice. I'd say with something of a continental accent. An educated man, I'd judge, but quite mad.
And what do you mean by that?
Well, as he emerged from the fog, he was talking aloud to himself. Oh, believe me, sir, he was reciting scriptures from the Bible.
Oh, no, it can't be. It can't be. Could there be any doubt about it now? Mr. Sleuth, our lodger, he was the murderer. I got out of the courtroom as quickly as I could. I didn't even notice it had started to rain. I hardly remember going home, running and walking somehow, while the nightmare of fear and terror grew bigger and bigger inside me. It was 3 streets from our cottage that I saw my husband, Robert. One thought hit me clearly. I realized Daisy must be home alone with the Avenger. Bunting! Bunting!
Why, Ellen! Ellen, what is it?
Bunting, where's Daisy? Where is she? Where's Daisy?
Why, she's at home.
Oh, listen, listen, Bunting, listen. Sleuth! Sleuth is the Avenger.
What? What are you saying?
Our lodger, he's the Avenger. Daisy's alone with him right now. Hurry! Hurry!
Now listen to me carefully, my child, and rejoice with me in your heart, for the moment is at hand, and you're not afraid, Daisy, are you?
No, I'm not afraid.
You're very beautiful, and you should live in the ways of righteousness. You hear me, Daisy? You want to live in the ways of righteousness, don't you?
Yes. Yes, I do.
I know you do. I know, and that is why I've been sent to purge your soul so that you will be elevated beyond all sin and evil. You like to dance, Daisy, don't you? Already 6 have gone on before you, and they are beyond all sin and evil. You are the 7th to be elevated, my child, and my work is almost done for the 7th. I've promised at this appointed hour. Be still, Daisy. And don't listen to the temptations of the crowd when they call out your name. Because I am here to save you from all evil and wickedness that consumes you like a wildfire of scarlet and crimson. You like to dance, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Look at me, my child. Look at me and don't fear me. And do not tremble. Woe to them that call evil good and good evil, and put darkness for light and light for darkness. And therefore I must bring you down like the lamb to slaughter. And now I lift my hand with a flaming sword, for now comes the vengeance and the time to rejoice.
Stop it! Stop it, you killer! Daisy, come here!
Drop that knife, you fiend!
Oh,
drop that knife!
Oh, you're saved! You're saved!
Oh, drop that knife, you!
Take away your hand! Let go of me! Get away! Don't you know that such that are for death to death, and such that are for the sword to the sword, and no one dare to have pity on them?
Here we are, lady!
This knife! His knife!
Oh, mercy. Oh, he fell on the knife.
Yes. And he's burning. It's burning in me like a fire. Oh, it purges me and consumes me. All sin and evil are falling away. Praise and glory. For it is I who is the 7th. Yes, the vengeance. is fulfilled.
Next week, Mystery in the Air, starring Mr. Peter Lorre, brings you one of the world's great stories of the strange and unusual, The Horla by de Maupassant, with a special musical score composed and conducted by Paul Barron. Next week's play will be The Horla by de Maupassant. The artists supporting Mr. Lorre tonight were Agnes Moorhead as Ellen, Henry Morgan as the voice of Mystery, Barbara Eiler as Daisy, Eric Snowden as Bunting, Raymond Lawrence as the inspector, Rolf Sedan as the witness, and Conrad Binion as the newsboy. And on behalf of Mr. Lorre and the entire cast, our sincere thanks to Agnes Moorhead for her great portrayal of Ellen Bunting. This is Michael Roy in Hollywood wishing you all a pleasant good night.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
All right, that's Mystery in the Air, Lisa, from August 14th, 1947, The Lodger, starring Peter Lorre with Agnes Moorhead as Ellen Bunting on that program. Also in the cast, Barbara Eiler, Eric Snowden, also Conrad Binion. He played Riley Little Jr. He played Jr. on The Life of Riley. And did a lot of other acting. And Henry Morgan, also known later as Harry Morgan, was the announcer on that. Originally sponsored by Camel Cigarettes. We removed all of the Camel cigarette commercials because we don't want you to smoke. That's our tribute to Agnes Moorhead. We'll be back after these words.